From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. We've been discussing all sorts of things. Where the hell have you been? Me, Eric Wiltshire, that's him, I'm me, in the beautiful Tatry Mountains in Pop Rap. Lee Banks is over in the UK, as is Mark Gander. And I need to extend this conversation a bit. So are you two? Hang on, what's that? What was that thing you used to, was it My Tune or something? On the radio, guys. Help.
What are you on about? What are you on about, Eric?
What's he on about, Lee?
I have no idea. Sometimes
it was 11 o'clock in the morning.
He'll just go on and on.
On Radio 1.
Oh, yes, Eric, I remember. Just say that, Mark. Just keep saying things like, oh, yeah, Eric, yeah, you're quite right, mate. Yeah.
Somebody help me out.
It was really good.
Yeah, somebody help me out. When it was the love tune of the morning for somebody.
Oh, that one with that big, fatty, blokey
big guy. Yes.
Stupid-y person.
He went from Radio 1
with
to...
With the beard.
I think he did it. And then he went, didn't he go to Classic FM or something? And do the same thing there.
Are you trying to
intimate that because Mark and I are in the same country now, that we're going to have a mad passionate love affair?
Well, let's just say don't go to Soho into a pub.
No kissing in the pub.
Well, no exchanges.
Yeah, yeah, so I ain't kissing him because he'll have tea breath, man.
No, well, actually, no. I'm going to that pub because it's the place I'm going to feel safe.
I was just about to say, no exchanges of bodily fluids, boys. Will you be meeting up then? Are you going to have a date?
I might treat him to a Burger King or something.
Oh,
isn't it amazing though? I mean, there's no Burger King in Paris, but there's Burger King, and I prefer them to McDonald's. Did you manage to sort out the product placement contract?
I think we should do, mate. Let's move along. So possibly we'll have a little bit of sound from Lee and Mark next week, together talking to each other.
All right.
I might not be talking to... I spend most of my life not talking to him. He's so irritating and annoying. And now you're making me go and meet him in London.
I think there should be a special little RTI interview in London.
Well, all right, we'll do that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, I'm sure everybody at home is now bored to death with this. Are rainy days in Britain gone forever? Why is that, Lee?
Well, it's a long story, really. Oh, Let me start at the beginning, then.
Yes, Adam and Eve.
Do something, yeah. I'm just going to waffle. Right, now, all it is perfectly true. Let me put it this way to you. You know, Mark doesn't know, but Eric knows that about 18 months ago, a bit longer, 2 years ago, I'd sold up. I was leaving the country. Lee was leaving the building and going to live abroad, and I would have had...
Cost me a fortune to bribe the border guards, but never mind.
I would have had a straightforward, quite seriously, £1 million in the bank. And I had worked out then that I would be able to live comfortably off the interest.
Right.
Nowadays, if you've got £1 million in the bank, and this is probably one of the greatest indictments of the British economy as it stands, you know,
there was a question at the beginning. I agree.
In Britain today, you can't. If you've got £1 million in the bank, you need to get a job to augment your income. That is unbelievable to me.
Right. So, what's this got to do with our rainy days in Britain gone forever?
Because you used to say for a rainy day, you're big.
Oh.
And so you can't save. It's pointless saving for a rainy day in Britain nowadays because you will have no income off your. So people are.
Oh,
not
so it's nothing to do with it being sunny forever then?
No! People are not saving money anymore. Easy. People are not putting money away in the bank.
I'm going to patent this big cardboard key I'm sitting here holding because it works a treat. Winding him up every time. So what's the point of all this then, Lee?
I don't know anymore. I've lost the will to live now. It's basically nobody's putting money away, which is actually damaging to the British economy. Oh. It's one of those things you put in because you expect Mark to jump in and take it off you. But he didn't, so we both talk.
I'm sure this
well,
is
I don't, I don't see that saving is good for the British economy.
I think in times of
high inflation, which we don't have high inflation at the moment, then saving is good because it takes money out of the supply, less to spend, and it means that prices have to come down.
Yeah.
But where you've got a problem on the high street, and people simply aren't investing the money, and they're not saving that they're not spending the money.
Yeah.
I think that you have to start, you know, somewhere. Either people have got to start investing, which they don't very much, or they've got to start spending to sort of start moving it all around. So the economy dries up.
You know, it's got to have that money going into it. That's the impetus, isn't it, to get you out?
But that's what I'm saying to you. You're missing the point. That's what I'm saying to you.
We are.
It is because what actually happened 4 years ago, if you had £1 million in the bank, you could service the rest of the economy by spending the interest on that money, and you could have a good life out of it. Mm-hmm. If you've got £1 million in the bank now, there isn't enough, you are not making enough money, interest-wise, to feed the economy. So the whole economy...
Well, how much money do you want a year to spend, then?
About £1 million.
How much do you really want to spend a year? 50 grand?
Nah, I don't need that much.
I had 50 grand.
Right. So how much do you want then, Lee?
I would say the average couple in Britain today to live comfortably, are you talking with a mortgage or without? Say they've got the average couple with the average mortgage, average car, average everything, would need to live comfortably in Britain today in the region of 70 to 80,000.
So how much is that? How many years is that into a million?
Don't know.
Is it more than 10?
Yeah, more than 10.
Well, then you ain't got a problem if you've got £1 million in the bank.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm quite sure there's probably less than 20% of the population, really, 20% of the population, less than that, who've got that kind of money to spend.
Not at all.
Sorry?
Ludicrous.
No.
Listen, the average wage in Britain, right, is around about 26 to 27,000. I think it's actually about 30,000 now. Mm. So if you've got a couple, right, who are both working full time, which people have to now if they're going to for service a mortgage or anything like that, then their average income is round about 60 to 70,000.
Well, I think that that's wrong to say that, you know, I mean, that may well be the average wage, but I'm afraid that if you start knocking off the top 10% of people who are earning £1 million and this sort of thing, which really distort the figure, I think you'll find that the average wage, or, you know, let's not talk about the average wage, let's talk about, if you like, sort of the normal wage of the vast majority of people.
We can't do that. It's impossible. You can only talk about the average. You can't talk about
I think statisticians can, actually, because I think that they work out, you know, sort of the very top and the very bottom, and they take those off, and they get a more realistic figure of the people that you're likely to meet. And I'm quite certain that you'll find it's less than 20 and probably less than £18,000.
Rubbish, honestly.
No, on the consumer action group, I tell you, we get people with frighteningly low incomes. I mean,
of course there are. Of course some people with frightening. My income is desperately low, but the simple fact is that the average income in Britain is what we used to dream. You know, people of our age group-ish, right, used to dream of having. That was when you'd arrive. Now it isn't. It's just your average income, man, and it is terrible to live that. I understand what Mark's saying. That of course there are people. I know people who are earning 8,000, 9,000. But I also know the bulk of people are earning in excess of 20,000 and probably in the region of 30,000.
No, I don't believe it.
No, I can't buy that
really
either.
I don't believe the bulk of people earning it. You know, I imagine the bulk of people are maybe earning 20,000. I'm sure that this is all well documented somewhere, and I suppose it's the kind of thing that...
It is, I'm reading it. It's documented so well. I'm reading it.
Yeah, but the trouble is, when you take just a complete average... when you've got sort of somebody earning 5 million at one end and somebody earning 5,000 at the others, it does distort the figures. That's the problem.
Of course it does. But at certain times, there are only certain figures that you can work out. And I was trying to personalise it to make it clear.
All right. So how do we paint over the personal crisis then, boys and girls? You're broke, you're skint. What do? How do you get on with it? Well, there's a solution in America. Apparently, painting your house in bright colours with an advert on it.
Yeah, I think this is a good idea. It's been done before anyway, but it's still not a bad idea. Turn your house into a giant billboard, and this company will pay you X amount of pounds. I've forgotten how much, but it's a lot of money, thousands of pounds to do it and to leave it there for about 3 months. I think that's a brilliant, super idea.
They do it with cars here in Slovakia.
They do it with cars here. I don't think it's sort of very well known, but I mean, if you wanted to, I think that there are places. I don't know who has to pay for the paint job on the car, but certainly you can get money. I suppose it's, once again, it's a style of product placement.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
But I mean, for me, it's. You see, I tend to find that retail therapy is the best.
Yeah, but if you ain't got money, you can't
do it. Lots of
it.
Why?
So you have to do retail stealing then.
No, you don't. No, you don't. If you was, I'll tell you, there's a guy I used to know many, 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 many years ago, sadly no longer with us, and he was chronic asthmatic. And he said to me one day, we're going to London, Eric, are you coming? So I went, yeah, okay, what's the gig then? And he said, well, we're going to, is it the, it's one of the big hotels in Park Royal, right in the middle of London. Can't remember the name of it now, but it's one of the snobby ones where you got blokes with high hats on opening the car doors and all that sort of malarkey. And as he got out the cab, and I tell you, this bloke's career was painter and decorator. He had to stop because he was chronic asthmatic and he couldn't work anymore. And he literally lived on incapacity benefits. And yeah. Every week he used to save a few pounds out of this money. And every 6 months, he went to this hotel. And when he walked in, people knew him straight away. Mm. Yeah. And he would sit there, and whoever's with him, he would have three bottles of champagne at like 90 quid a bottle, enjoy his little time there. He'd pop round the corner to some cheap restaurant and have fish and chips. And that was his day out in London. And that was retail therapy. But well, he saved...
Like a great day out.
Yeah, yeah, what a great actually, thing to do.
But if you haven't got the money, I'll tell you a similar kind of story, not quite the same, but similar. We, me and my very best friend at the time, David Rigby, who worked on, I don't know where he worked, I think he was on the Mirror. Anyway, we'd gone out.
How'd you work on a Mirror? Wouldn't you keep slipping off?
Yeah, he got suckers instead of fingers. He was all right. His feet were like webbed. He was just all right. He'd stay there for ages. In fact, you could put him inside your car on the windscreen and things like that. He was just running. Anyway, we were doing that journalistic thing of going out and getting a bit drunk. And
situation normal.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. What do you actually do when you run out of money? What do you do when you run out of money? You
go
have
to the
be
bank.
Entrepreneur. Well, no, if you've run out of money, you haven't got any money in the bank. I mean, really, you've got no money. Oh, and that I
hand down
I,
the back of the sofa.
Get a payday
you're
loan.
In the pub. You're in the pub. You're on the beer. You're getting drunk, and you've run out of money. And we had between us £1, and it was a pound coin, and that's and we looked at it. We thought, well, that at the time would have got you half a pint of beer. We could have had half a pint of beer between us, right? And we'd had probably a lot by then. And so what we did, we took a chance and put it in a gambling machine, which people shouldn't do, but we did at that moment.
Not a good idea,
and you know. And, you know, we got £56 out of it.
No. Flipping heck.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do. That's
for the rest of the night. But what I'm saying is these people here are suffering like nobody believes that people are suffering. One day we have to do a show about how bad Britain is now because it is terrible. But these people are having the houses painted. There's a bloke round here, walks around, he's got a bald head, and he has adverts painted on the top of his head just to make himself a few quid. And you've got to take that chance in these guys. Like me and Dave, chance then.
All right, anyway, yes, moving along. Apparently pink jeans are the new oversized glasses for this summer.
Oh, I know. I tell
you. Oversized glasses? Go on.
I don't get it.
What do you say? Well...
Have you noticed he's doing it on every one of these red top, as he calls them, journalistic stories this week, boys and girls? He goes,
You're just mocking the afflicted because I have a stutter and a stammer.
You have not. You're not in the movie The King's Thingy at all.
I am the King's Thingy.
You're not. Apparently, fashion trendsetters are officially loud and proud this year. No, it's called going back to the 60s, you pillocks.
It is. Honestly, unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never wore pink jeans in the 60s.
Didn't you, sweetie?
I used to drink pink gins.
Pink jeans. Yeah, oh, yeah. Sorry, was it pink jeans? Right.
Yes.
Why now? Why are we going back to pink jeans? I think.
Well, hang on a minute. You've just been saying nobody's got any money, and yet these jeans sell for £200.
Well, I don't think they'll sell many then, to be honest. You?
No.
No. I'll tell you what, something else that goes with that is something in America which you should be aware of, actually, Eric, because. See, I can't remember your name.
Lee. If you're in the middle, I live to the east, America's west. You see, wrong side of the world, Lee.
I just meant because it was to do with the internet.
Oh, okay.
See, picking on me again for no reason, showing yourself up for the bully that you are.
Me? Bully? Never.
Yeah. No, but serious, listen, this is a serious news story, right?
Go on.
X-rated websites, right, in America, have actually just been given the approval to have XXX domain name. Have
yeah,
the
I know.
XXX
domain.
Oh, yeah. I think that's bizarre, because when Americans go online to do clothes shopping, they're going to be shocked to hell, aren't they?
Why?
Extra large. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Do you want the serious side to that story?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Because it enables search engines to know what the sites are and make sure when parental control's on, they don't appear on searches.
Is that what it's...
Yes. It's why if you put certain swear words, which are parts of people's anatomy, into search engines these days, it comes up with nothing. You have to physically go through. It doesn't.
How
bring...
do you know this, Eric?
Because
so,
if you,
I mean, what happens if you search on Scunthorpe, for instance?
Well,
which incidentally, for the people in Texas, is a place in the north of England.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the same problem with Shropshire, obviously.
Shropshire.
I've eaten 7 sofas in a year, says this lady. The doctors say I might die.
Well, this is a terrible story. She's a mother of 5. Are you notice I'm not stumbling? Stumbled. I'm not stumbling. A mother of 5. The red sauce.
I'm not stumbling and I can write sentences in a newspaper.
It's called Picker. Yeah, that's what she does with the sofas. She picks at them. This is a terrible story. We shouldn't laugh.
No.
She's eaten 7 sofas in a year, and the doctors have told her if she eats another one, she'll die.
I bet she's stuffed.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Comforting doesn't come into it, does it?
Yeah, but she's got a spring in her step, obviously.
Well,
a sofa is huge. And I mean, this lady is actually eating the insides of her furniture while she's watching the TV or what have you, and get carried away.
She said, I unzip the cushions and snack on the foam inside. Oh, and once a starter, just can't stop. But now it's a really serious story. This woman's really in a bad condition. Right? She says, and now doctors have told me that if I carry on, it'll kill me.
Oh, I bet it would.
What do you hear about that?
Well, it'd kill me as well. How much do you think the sofas cost?
Blinking heck, yeah, her husband. So, says sofa's £300. She's at 7. That's £2,500 nearly, if she eats
another one.
Are
these 3 seaters or 2 seaters?
Does she weigh much, that much then?
It depends if she's out for a 3-course meal or a 2-course.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, dear. My word. Let's carry on. We've got so much more to get in this programme, boys and girls.
You wouldn't want to invite her around your home, would you?
No.
Unless she was in the chair.
No,
yeah.
I think the only place I'd have I think the only place we'd have dinner with her would be in an empty warehouse.
Yes.
Let's eat the cranes out of that one. Here is the news. There will be no more news.
You started this. You start this one.
I didn't.
You did.
I didn't.
Let's all do Orville.
I didn't.
There's people in the US going, what the hell are they talking about? Orville is a duck, and he's a ventriloquist dummy. And he's very good, but he's a naughty duck as well.
He's not even a human being. He's not even a duck.
He's a naughty...
Yeah, white, green thing that you stick your hand up.
He's a naughty little duck that's very entertaining, which is probably why... See what I mean, boys and girls? If you read... a critic in a newspaper, whatever they write, you say opposite because it's built in their genes. You see, he doesn't like Orville, who are very funny. And,
I think Orville's just childish.
Who are very funny, very entertaining, slightly naughty if you go to the right event, and just all round great good eggs. Ha ha, good eggs. And yet, the tabloid Red Top journalist thinks they're churlish. Marvellous.
I don't think they're churlish, I just think they're childish.
See what I mean? Exactly.
Are you going to do this thing on me or not?
Yes, exactly. As we all know, whatever start... Here you go, everybody in the US, you're going to like this. Well, when you lot sneeze over there in the US, we always know that Europe's going to get a cold afterwards. So we know this thing. But in net terms, whatever comes from the US becomes a European model as well. So I bring with to you the news.
Yes.
The web is knocking... the stuffing out of newspapers as a news force source for the first time in the US, with the Net coming second to TV, pushing newspapers down.
Yeah.
But we have this argument every week, and the problem is, I agree with you. I don't argue against this. My argument is very simple, that quite rightly, this is an old adage, right? The old adage within the advertising industry, which newspapers we're steeped in, we're probably more knowledgeable about advertising than anybody else, right? And the simple fact is that advertising says to stay one step ahead, you have to travel one step behind. And that's what newspapers have done with the Net. They've lived to that thing. What's actually happened is they've let it go on for too long and they've fallen far too far behind, but they're picking up. What will happen, quite truthfully, quite simply, is that we will take over the Net. You can't service the world with the anodyne, pathetic, wrong, stupid, idiotic, thoughtless kind of news coverage that you get on the Net.
It's funny that, because in a European survey, one of the EU ones, there was a thing about which form of media do you trust the most?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And radio was the top, which is kind of wrong, really, because we've got a red top journalist on this program, so I apologise for messing up the whole system. But the truth is, radio was at the top, and newspapers weren't anywhere. So they don't trust.
There's a difference.
If they don't trust them.
I think radio has a sort of gravitas about it, really, doesn't it? I mean, you can tell by this program, for instance.
Yeah, right. No, we are serious at times.
There's a simple point here, which I have to make, right? There is a difference between, and I don't mind this, journalists on radio and television do not live in the gutter. We do. We newspaper red top journalists live in the gutter.
You ask because you drink too much.
I'm proud of it.
There's nothing to do with that, because we might be lying in the gutter, but at least we're looking up at Sienna Miller's knickers.
See what I mean? I rest my case. Why would you do it? Anyway, Google has seen a sharp rise in first quarter earnings, which kind of like supports the other story we just gone through. Internet giant Google has reported a sharp rise in first quarter earnings. The first figures with co-founder Larry Page back at the helm as the boss, because if you remember, he wasn't for a little while. Now, the bad news is, though, that UK revenues for Google have shrunk because the click-through commercials are not doing so well, apparently. And that brings me round to quite a simple reason for that, because everybody's on Facebook, lads. Nobody goes to Google.
Right.
Well, you see, if you go to, and I'm probably, everybody else is going to go, yeah, we know that, but I'm talking to two not so technical people here.
Mark, it's so rude, isn't it? You know more about technical things than I do, I accept. But I think between us that we have a technical background that is strong enough to take Mr. Eric on.
Next.
But does Facebook have click-through advertising on it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does. There's loads of it. But the other thing is that when you go to... because people are there, it's a community where they sit.
Yeah.
If you search in Facebook, it brings you up the options that are available on Facebook. And then underneath, it brings you options that are available on Bing, not Google.
Oh, right.
So if you've got 27 million people regularly using Facebook in the UK, that's why Bing's growing. Simple as that. And Google have got to get their head around that, because they should be nice to Mr. Facebook as well. Otherwise, they could find themselves stumbling a little bit.
Yep.
Do you know why the internet will fail ultimately? A, because it's full of pornography, and B, because it is totally childish, where the major search engines have got titles that come out of the primary school, like Google and Bing, and things like that.
Well, where does Google come from?
I don't know.
Go Oggle.
Well, that's even worse. That's almost grown up. He's not grown up. Go Oggle. That's like looking at your neighbour while she's in the bathroom.
Well,
she looks all wobbly because of the window.
That's my favourite Slovak phrase comes in at that point. Acho.
Acho.
And what? Yeah, exactly. And I mean,
where'd Bing come from then? Bing.
Because that's what your computer does, you nerdlead.
That's what I mean. It's treating you like idiots. It's treating you like a brain dead idiot.
Well, I know, but that's.
I've got a very nice neighbour. I'm very proud of it.
But the trouble with you is, Lee, your computer's always going Bing because you're always messing it up.
I know it's gone a bit of, it's done a bit of a bing recently. We must have a talk about it. It is binged.
Right, yeah. We'll finish our internet conversations first before we move on to other stories. But here we go again. Microsoft is launching
Street View.
Yeah, Street View thing. So they're off already. Whereas Google got into loads of trouble with it, Microsoft are saying, but they're doing it properly. They're not going to collect all the data, da-da-da-da-da. But I'm sorry, nobody said you could film my house.
That's the point, isn't it? We did have this discussion. This discussion about...
It's catching, isn't it?
Yeah, about Google Street View before. Mm. But it is very simply that actually they have every right to photograph your house from the road.
Right.
That is a legal right they have to photograph.
In the UK?
Well, I think it's pretty much the same everywhere. But what they don't
excuse
have
me.
The right to
do. I'll ask Mr. Gaddafi that.
Well, he hasn't got any windows in his house anymore.
Yeah, he's not in Europe.
No, that's true.
Not yet.
No, not yet. But, he will be.
The simple fact they don't have the right. To, you know, most newspapers now will blank out the face of a kid or the number of a car and things like that. Mm. They don't have the right to publish personal details, and that's what they're doing. They're showing everybody what you own in your house, what sort of car you've got on your drive, you know, everything, what sort of garden furniture you've got. People nick garden furniture, you know, as well as cars.
Exactly. We've got to move on because we're very, very nearly out of time. Very quickly, one more story. We'll stay with this one from Iceland, having decided that they can fund a penis museum, and yet they can't fund paying back people they borrowed money off of.
Well, you need the right tools to do the job. I mean, that's really about, and they obviously have got them there.
Well, I gather the director of it had the balls to open it.
Yeah.
Well, I was cock-a-hoop when I read this.
Oh, no. We mustn't get any worse.
Listen, it's going to increase tourism in Iceland, isn't it? I mean, there we are. We'll tell everybody Iceland has just opened up a penis museum, and it may well be the only one in the world. Go to Iceland, and I can't think of
it. It's the only one.
Come on, you're a financial bloke. Then they can pay all the money back to Holland and England. They still owe them.
Well, they could send it, is it all, in pickled penises?
I don't think so. That was Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls on a different week, where both of them are in the UK, and there is a threat that they might be exchanging bodily fluids in London on Monday. And a warning for everybody else in London. The Banks is there on Monday, and he's got a recording thing with him, and he's going to a snobby chef restaurant thing with Blake from all over the world, and I hate him.
Ha ha.
See you later. Bye bye, everybody.
Bye
bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.